Happy New Year. I feel like it's exciting to start the new year off and look at a psalm about praise. I think what could be a better way to start a new year is to celebrate our Lord in this way, to consider and reflect on what he's done. Am I on? Or is this just my voice? Okay. Oh, my. But I'm excited. I'm excited to start this year off, this new year, and we're going to be leading into the life of David and what better way to look at Psalm 100. But I'm going to tell you that this morning is not going to be our normal teaching morning. It's going to be interactive. I'm going to invite you into this with more this morning, because if we're going to be worshiping and praising God together, I'm not going to be doing it alone. And so I'm going to tell you right up front that we're going to interact this morning, and we're going to move through Psalm 100 together, but we're going to do that tangibly. We're going to look at this psalm, and we're going to see how David invites us into a way to celebrate him. So we're going to start out by reading together aloud Psalm 100. Will you join with me? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let me open this up in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for a new year. I thank you for the renewed hope that comes with a new year and the anticipation of all that you might be doing in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. And God, we also take a time this morning to reflect on what you have done in our lives. And we want to praise you. We want to praise you whatever the circumstances are, God, because you are good and you're faithful and you're true. So God, I pray that you would just allow us to let all of those other things that are on our hearts and minds, let them just kind of fade away in the next 30 minutes. And Father, I just pray that we might be able to be in your presence, to come before your throne, and to do that together. And I pray this in your name. Amen. So we see in this psalm and in so many psalms that we are actually created beings that are made to worship. It's interesting that when we were made, God actually made us with anticipation of heaven, where we will be worshiping him in all that we do and say, and it will be a natural part of who we are. So we are people that are made to worship. And it's interesting, the book actually talked about that. Don't feel bad if you didn't read the book, because I tell you, it's hard when it's the last chapter of a book and we're just coming off the new year, so I get it. But one of the things that the book mentioned is that because we are made to worship, that we misplace our worship, that our souls actually long to worship and to praise. And when we aren't worshiping and praising God, it's misplaced worship. And one of the ways that we do that is we honor and we give praise and worship to people that don't deserve it. And it mentioned athletes, it mentioned musicians, it mentioned celebrities, people that in some ways our desperate desire to worship is coming out in the way that we honor sometimes these people that are not even deserving of our honor. And so when you think about these celebrities and these athletes and these musicians, where we see people just throwing themselves at these people in a way, I want you to think about how that's a little tweaked, but it's actually a good picture of what worship is that we need to be throwing ourselves before the throne of God and saying, you are amazing and worthy of all honor. And that in fact is how we were made. The reason we see people doing this with celebrities and everything is because we were made to do this. We were made to worship and to praise. And one of the things we want to do is allow our hearts to think about what it means to worship and praise appropriately. And who deserves that worship and who deserves that praise. And so God is the only person truly worthy of our worship and praise. And I even thought about this and I went back and forth, but I think we can even find ourselves worshiping in ways we might not realize, like our children and things, where we're misplacing this desire to praise and to honor in an almost inappropriate way, even in the people in our lives. And that's not always tricked. By all means, we need to be praising our kids and honoring them. But if you understand when it just gets slightly tweaked, and we start giving what is deserved to God, and we start giving it to other people. And what I want to think about today is how we can center our hearts on giving that praise and that worship that is truly due Him to Him. And so let us begin by the first verse that says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth." Now, I want to point out that it doesn't say shout joyfully if your circumstances are really great. It doesn't say shout joyfully because everything's wonderful in your life. It says shout joyfully because God deserves it. Because God, who reigns over this earth, is deserving of our shouts of joy. He's deserving of our praise. And it's not based on our circumstances. When I looked at what this is translated, it's actually like a glad shout. And one of the commentaries, it says, when you think of somebody that's of high honor, like maybe somebody of royalty, when people shout at the presence of the triumphal shout when somebody is entering the gates or something like that, this is the type of shout we're talking about. It's this triumphal, "We recognize your honor." This is a shout of joy. To the Lord of all the earth. Now, I want to say this passage is saying He is Lord of all the earth, but it's actually saying all the earth shout for joy. It's saying that it's not just you and I shouting for joy, that the earth is actually called out and created to shout joyfully to our Lord. And in Luke 19:40, it says, if we don't worship, the rocks are going to call out. It says in Psalm 148, which Ann just read, the moon and the stars and the heavens, they are praising Him. And this is ongoing. And in Isaiah 55:12, it says, the mountains and the hills will burst forth into song before Him, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And so what this passage is saying is, all the earth is shouting for joy. I invite you to join in to those shouts. I invite you to celebrate with my creation that is already a chorus singing forth shouts of joy continually. I invite you into that. And we want to be part of those shouts of joy. So this morning, I've invited some people to let us hear some of the shouts of joy that are in Scripture. And these are the passages they're coming from. They're not going to read the passages, but they're going to just shout them out. And I want us to just focus on what these shouts of joy sound like as they're triumphantly read. How our spirits rejoice in God our Savior. The Scriptures are filled with these shouts of joy. And our challenge is to think about how do these shouts of joy not only be verbal, but then in the next passage, serve the Lord with gladness. So in many ways, these shouts of joy are about serving Him. That our actual what we do with our lives can be these shouts of joy. And it says, I want to point out that serve the Lord is also translated worship. And I think these go hand in hand because I think the call is to let everything we do be unto the Lord. And that, in fact, is worship. So when we are serving Him, that is worship. When we are, the way we live our lives, if we live them joyfully and with gladness, this is worship. And I want to point out, Spurgeon had this quote. He said, "He is our Lord, and therefore he is to be served. He is our gracious Lord, and therefore he is to be served with joy. And it struck me because we are simply, because he is Lord and because he is God, we are called to worship. We are called to serve him. But the reason we can serve him with gladness is because who he is and what his character is. And he is a gracious God who has extended his grace to us through his son Jesus. Imagine a slave serving his master. A slave that is serving his master will do so simply because that is his job. And he has been called to do that. But imagine a slave serving his master where his master is gracious to him and loving to him. What would that service look like that is so different than the service to a master who is just there because he's the master? And I think we know who we are serving. We know who we are worshiping. And he is a gracious, loving God. And the call is then to serve him with gladness because our hearts know who this master is that we serve. And so we can come before him with great joy because of what we have experienced from him. And we come before him with joyful singing. And I was inclined when I read this, I'm like, maybe we should burst out in song. But I have to be honest, it totally stretched my comfort level. So I couldn't do it. But this singing joyfully is a totally an apt foreshadowing of heaven. And it literally means this come before him, when translated, literally means coming before his face, being in his presence, being with him. And I thought about when we are singing in church and we are worshiping, how often do I admit that I am not even in his presence, though the words are coming out of my mouth? And this is saying, be in his face, be in his presence when you worship him with songs of joy. And so instead of me singing or us singing, I might invite us to sing, but I'm going to show a YouTube video. This is a song that just kept coming to mind as I was reading this passage. And I have to say, it's a throwback to another era. So when you hear the keyboards, you can think 80s. But this is Michael W. Smith singing Great Are You, Lord. And if you feel inclined to join in, I invite you to join in if you prefer to just sit there. But let our hearts come before him with joyful singing.
Mercy he proves he is love. Great are you.
I love that song, even if it is a throwback to another era. So we come before him with joyful singing. I missed something. There was a cute comment there, and I missed it. Oh, yeah. You're like, that's really fresh and hip, right? I love it. Okay, so we come before him with joyful singing. And then this passage goes on to say, know that the Lord himself is God. And what this is saying is, this is not foolish, unintelligent, or ignorant worship. This is a worship that intimately knows who Jesus is, that he is in fact God, and that we can worship in confidence of this grace, of his grace and the truth. That we must know, in fact, it's calling us, we must know who we are praising and who we are worshiping and who we are serving. That Jesus, this is saying that Jesus is in fact the fullest, most absolute, and most exclusive sense, God alone. Jesus is God alone. And we must know him, and we must seek to know him more. And so part of this call in this psalm is, you worship me, praise him. Worship me, meaning him. He says, you worship me, praise me, but know me. Know who you are worshiping. Know who you are praising. Learn about me. Understand me. And this is the amazing thing. This God we know, he has made us and we are his. The next verse says, it is he who made us. We, not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And, you know, our culture talks about the self-made man. It's a pretty common thing for, look at that, he is a self-made millionaire. He's a self-made man. And, I think in the truest sense, that is absolutely impossible. Even for the heathen, there is no way that any of us are anything we are outside of what God has done, period. Anything we are. We cannot take any honor for what we are or what we are becoming or what we have become. It is truly because of him. And he has made us. And it says we cannot think of ourselves as a self-made person. And in our worship, then, we're recognizing that everything we are and everything he's wanting to do in our lives, it's all because of him, period. To give glory to God is to recognize our place as his created beings. We need to know our place when we're worshiping him, that we are, in fact, simply his created beings and nothing more, and we're completely subject to him. But this is the cool thing. It says, we, therefore, though we are totally the created beings and he's totally made us, we are his. We belong to him. And when I read that passage, I think how desperate each and every one of us is desperate to belong. Don't we all just long to belong somewhere, somehow, to have a place, to feel like we have a spot somewhere? And he's saying, you belong to me. You belong. You belong to me because you're mine, because I created you. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And I couldn't help but, when it says we're the sheep of his pasture, think back to Psalm 23, when we talked about Psalm 23 and what it meant to be his sheep, to this shepherd who cares for us. He cares for us. He watches over us. He protects us, even when we don't necessarily feel it. But then in John 10, 1 through 21, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So we're talking about praising and honoring and celebrating this God who cares for us, watches over us, and protects us, and not only that, he has completely laid down his life. This is the God we're talking about praising. This is the God we're talking about serving. And so then, when we think about belonging to this amazing shepherd who gave his life for us, how then can we not also be moved to thanksgiving? And this passage then moves us into thanksgiving. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. This is saying, if you know who I am, and what I'm doing in your life and what I've done, let thankfulness abound in your hearts. Let gratitude be core to who you are and how you live. I'm going back to Spurgeon, but he says, so long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. And we are receivers of mercy. For us to even be seated here, we are receivers of his mercy who sustains our lives. And he says, we must be then givers of thanks. So whatever our circumstances, whatever they are, we're called to bless his name. And in fact, Job, who we all know was a tremendous sufferer and endured so much, he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He says, it's not based on my circumstances, what he's given me or what he's taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Job got it. He was in deep suffering, and yet he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. I am so thankful that I serve a God who cares, protects, and watches over me, and ultimately lays down his life for me. I found this quote. It says, God, you have given so much to me. Please give me one more thing, a grateful heart. Not thankful when it pleases me, which is what we're inclined to do, as if thy blessings had spare days, as if our blessings are somehow going to fade. The blessings are because he loves us and cares for us. But such a heart where my pulse may be your praise. Where our pulse might be the actual praise and thanksgiving to our God. This is a gratitude that flows from our very being, from every cell of our body, and says thank you. And it doesn't matter what you're doing, God, and what I see circumstantially, I praise you and I bless you because you are good. This is a part of our every breath. This is what we're being called into. Psalm 50:14 says, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. And so I thought about this. I thought sometimes a heart of gratitude is actually a sacrifice. It hurts. It hurts to sit down when you're in pain and say, God, I want to thank you. But it's a discipline that, in fact, when we do that, it actually does reshape and change our heart. So it is a sacrifice, but when we do it, it's amazing how God can come in and actually reshape our hearts through that discipline of gratitude. And so our challenge is to, when we're not feeling gratitude, to actually discipline our hearts, to think about what God is, what good God has done in our lives and what he is doing, and be thankful for those things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be thankful, not in the great circumstances, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Sometimes this is a very, very high call. To be thankfulness in every circumstance that we have before us. But God says, I am still God. And I love you, and I care for you, and I'm protecting you, even when it doesn't feel like it. And I've laid down my life for you. So have gratitude. So one of the things I want you to do right now, since it's the first of the year, I want you to actually tangibly take a pen, and I want you to write down 5 things specifically in 2011 that God did in your life that you can be very specifically thankful for. Five things that you are specifically thankful for in 2011. And I'm going to give you a little bit of time to do that. I realize that probably isn't even close to enough time to write down five. But hopefully they're up here and you'll be able to write them down today. But one of the things I want to encourage you to do is in your groups today, as part of celebrating our Lord, is I encourage you to share some of these things with each other. The faithfulness God has shown in 2011 and come before him with hearts of gratitude together for what he's been doing in our lives. Encourage your groups in this way. And so if you haven't gotten them all down, hopefully they'll be up here so you can share them with everybody. And then the last part of this passage, the last part of this psalm is, "For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations." And I feel like every time I speak, it comes down to this. It comes down to, we do this, we live this way, whatever it is, because this is the God we serve. This is his character. And this passage is saying it all stems back to his goodness, his loving kindness, and his faithfulness. This is the God we serve. This is why we can praise him. This is why we can serve him, and this is why we worship. It's because this is the character of the God we serve. Whatever our circumstances, he is still good. He is still loving. He is still faithful. So we praise him and we shout joyfully because of these things. His love, in fact, endures forever. Through all generations, we have been seeing his faithfulness, and we will continue to see his faithfulness. And so one thing I want you to do now is I want you to write down five attributes of God that specifically shaped your life last year in 2011. Five attributes. He's a provider, or he's a sustainer, whatever it is. I want you to write down five of those attributes specific to your life in the last year. Okay, now that you've got some attributes down, I'm going to encourage us to become a chorus of shouts to praise to God. And if you feel comfortable, I want us to just start calling out these attributes and these characteristics. Shout them out, because this is the God we serve, and you have experienced these very characteristics in your own life. And I, as that chorus of shouts of who he is start to die down, I'm going to end with Psalm 148 and two songs. Psalm 148 and 100 put to music, okay? So feel free. Let's start shouting out, who is this God that we serve? Faithful.
skies above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the sky. From the heavens, praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. God.
Psalm 100, 1 through 3.
Leslie, hello.
Good morning, everybody.